Today's shiur is Masechet Shabbos Daf Tzadik Vav. We will begin on Daf Tzadik Vav Amun Aleph on the top line, Amar Rav Asi Shainin. But to review what we learned in our previous shiur, which the first part of our shiur today is very much based on, we spoke about different types of holes in a Kli Cheres that will have different applications for halacha. The halacha is that if a gistera, if a shard has a hole just the size of mitzi mashka, which liquid would leak out, it's no longer tamei. Somebody decided to use a gistera, but for use, so it's still a keli, it's makabel tumah. But if it has such a small hole that it's already mitzi mashka, it's no longer tamei. If a keli has a hole that's koinis mashka, which means that if you put that keli into liquid, the liquid would be able to seep in, it's no longer considered a keli that you could use for the mechatos that we use for something to become tar. If it has a hole the size of a shayrish cotton, a small root, it's no longer able to be, any food in it, even if it got wet, would not be mukshel kabel tumah. If it has a hole the size of an olive, then it's considered broken, and as we've discussed extensively in our previous year, a broken keli is not mekabel tumah. And if it has a hole the size of a pomegranate, no matter what use you designated that keli for, it will no longer become tumah. So begins the Gemara Amar of Asi Shoinin, we learned in a Braisa. Kli Cheres, when we speak about a Kli Cheres, the shear is Bekoinus Mashka. The shear that it's considered broken is if liquid could seep in. V'loi Amru K'moitziat Mashka, the smaller shear that if liquid leaks out, it's already considered broken. That was only selling in Gistra Blavad, that when we have a shard, which as we just explained, a shard, if I designate for use, it is considered a keli. But if that shard develops a hole that is so small the liquid already leaks, just the liquid will leak out, that's already considered broken. Ask the Gemara Maitama, why by the shard is there a new halacha that such a small hole already makes it be considered broken? Answers the Gemara Amar of Zutra Bereder of Nachman, Lefisha Ein Oimrim Havei Gistra Legristra. Let's think about it. We're dealing with a shard. A shard is really something quite insignificant. So when we're dealing with a shard which is quite insignificant, as soon as it has any type of break, even such a small hole that something will leak out, that's already enough to make it be considered broken. Nobody's going to try to fix a broken shard. Says the Gemara, Amma Ula Pligi by Trey Maroi by Marova. Says Ula, there was a Machloik Samaroi in Etzisro. Rabbi Yossi bar Oven, Rabbi Yossi bar Avzavda. Chad Omer, that the shear for Kaili to have a hole that it's no longer considered, that it's considered attached to the ground, and therefore whatever grows in it will not be able to become Mukshal Kabo Tumma, is Kamoitsi Remain. For Chad Omer, the shear is Kishirish Cotton. Simonach, and says the Gemara to remember that these are the two opinions. One says the very small shear of mitzi, shirish cotton, and one says the large shear of mitzi riban. As we have the Gemara Masechta Menachos, Daf Kuf Yod Amar Aleph teaches us Echra Marba VeEchra Mamid UBevad SheChaven Libel Shmayim. It's a Gemara regarding Kabonis. The Gemara points out that when the Torah speaks about Oilus Behema, the parasha says Isha Reich Nichayach. When the Torah speaks about oil soif, which is obviously much cheaper, it's a bird, not an animal, the Torah uses the words Isha Reich Nichayach. And when the Torah speaks about the carbon mincha, which is even less expensive, the Torah uses the words Isha Reich Nichayach to teach us Echad Amar BeVechad Amam, that Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't look at how much you spent. Uvach Yichaven Liboy L'Shamayim. So these three shurim, the machlokes here is about the smallest, the shear of a shayrish cotton and a mitzi rimon. However, there was never a question about Moitzi Mashka and Machnas Mashka, explained the Rishonim, because those were never shiurim regarding a something that's considered broken. That's only for unique halachas, and therefore they're not in the count. Tosfos asks a question that the Mishnah says in Masechta Uksin, explicitly a Mishnah Masechta Uksin, Perek Beis Mishnah Yud, that the size of a hole that the things that grow in the flower pot are not Mukshal Kabel Tumah is a Shirish cotton. So how can we have a Machlokes Rishonim, a Machlokes Amoraim against an explicit Mishnah? So the Ramban, in defending Rashi's Pshat, explains that that Mishnah is only referencing the opinion of the Rabbanon. We began our entire sugya with a Machlokes between the Rabbanon and Rav Shimon. So according to Rabbanon, the shear is neck of cotton. But we see that Rav Shimon has very different rules regarding flower pots. And the Machloik Samaroim that was just referenced in the Gemara is on the regarding the opinion of Rav Shimon. Continues the Gemara, Amar Rav Chinana Bakahana, Mishmei Derbeleza. Kli Cheres, the Kli Cheres that was made, Shiroi, a hole in a Kli Cheres, that it's that's considered broken and no longer mekabel tuma if it's kamotzi zaysim and has holes the size of an aleph. Says the Gemara, makshish made the rava m'sayim b'mishmei der belezer v'rein tiglia kli glolim. They're considered at that point like vessels that are made out of dung, kli avonim stone, kli adama clay. Shem kabel tuma, that there is no din of kabbalas tuma in such vessels. Loy medivrei Torah v'loy medivrei Sofrim, not mederaisa nor mederabanan. And continues and concludes the Gemara Linyan Tzomet Pasul, as we discussed in our previous year, Kli Cheres has a very unique halacha that the tuma penetrates only from the interior of the keli, not from the exterior of the keli. And the Torah says that if there's a Tzomet Pasul, if that keli is sealed, it's not Mekabel Tuma. When will the Tzomet Pasul no longer be useful? At Shifaches Rubai, as we discussed at the end of yesterday's shir, when the majority of the keli is broken. Rashi asks a question that here it says that if a keli has the size of a Kli Cheres has the size of an olive, it's no longer Mekabel Tuma, it's considered broken. But we learned, asks Rashi, that if you designated that keli for other use, you're going to use it for larger material, then it's still considered a keli. Keli is used for remoinim. So what's Algamar saying that the shear is always an aleph? So Rashi answers that halacha, according to this Gemara, was only stated by kliates, by kelim made out of wood. But kelim made out of cheres, no matter what you designate that keli for, as soon as it has a hole the size of an olive, it's no longer mekabel tuma. Hanrelach hamatznia, hanrelach hamatznia, hanrelach hamatznia. We begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach to learn Perek HaZorik. And Perek HaZorik really goes back to what we discussed at the beginning of the Masechta. When we learned at the beginning of Masechta, we learned that the melacha of Aitzah. On Shabbos, you're not allowed to carry from the Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim, vice versa, from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYochid. And our Mishnah and Gemara Mitzvah Shem go back into discussing when and where, what and where do we have that melacha. As we discussed at the beginning of the Masechta, there are actually four Rishuyos in Shabbos. There's a Rishus HaYochid. A Rishus HaYochid is a place encircled by four mechitzas that are at least 10 tefachim tall. And the area has to be an area that's at least 4 by 4 tefachim or more. If it's a large area, as long as it's encircled with the purpose for dira, for living in it, the halacha is it's considered a Rishus HaYochid. The halacha is that Rishus HaYochid Oila Adler Rekia, the airspace of Rishus HaYochid, on top of Rishus HaYochid, Adler Rekia is considered Rishus HaYochid. The Rishus HaRabim are open public roads, public places that are at least 16 amos wide, no, not covered by a roof. As we're going to discuss, even in Mitzvah Shem, hopefully in today's shir, Machloikus Rishonim, that many Rishonim are of the opinion that a Rishus Rabbim, to be considered Rishus Rabbim, has to be a place where 600,000 people pass every day. The halacha with Rishus Rabbim is that Rishus Rabbim doesn't go above 10 tefachim. A place that's not a dalad wide is considered, and it's higher than 3 tefachim, is considered a makom ptur. A place which is dalad al dalad, but it's not then tefachim high, or it's not encircled by mechitzas. So in other words, you'll have a mound in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim that's dalad al dalad wide and high between 3 and 10 tefachim, or whether it could be a pit as well, that is considered a karmelis. And as we explained at the beginning of the Masech, the karmelis is from the same lotion of karmelis, almona. It's not treated like a Rosh Hashanah Yochid, nor is it treated like a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. It's a new category. So midaraisa, one may not carry from Rosh Hashanah Yochid to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, or vice versa. Midrabbanon, one may not carry from Rosh Hashanah Yochid to a Karmelis, from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim to a Karmelis, or from a Karmelis to Rosh Hashanah Yochid, or to a Karmelis to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. From a Makom Patur, one may carry to a Makom Patur from anywhere, or from a Makom Patur to anywhere. Says the Mishnah, Hazoirik, if somebody throws something, Rosh Hashanah Yochid to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, from the Rosh Hashanah Yochid to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, or from the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim to Rosh Hashanah Yochid, Chayiv. He's going to be Chayiv. And the Gemara in Mitzvah Shem will explain what is the unique halacha here and why is this the halacha. Rosh Hashanah Yochid, Rosh Hashanah Yochid. If somebody throws something from one Rosh Hashanah Yochid to another Rosh Hashanah Yochid, for Rosh Hashanah Rabbim be'emtza, and there's Rosh Hashanah Rabbim in between that those two Rosh Hashanah Yochids, Rabbi Kiva Mechayiv. Rekiva holds Yechayiv for such a situation, the Chum and Poitrim. But the Chum hold that you potter. And again, as we've learned so many times, the halacha is, when it says that I'm Mishta potter, it means potter avaloser. It's not awesome with the Raisa, but it's awesome with the Rabbanon. Kate said, so ask the Mishnah in trying to understand when did Rabbanon hold the Yepotter, and when did the Rabbanon hold that Yechayiv? Says the Mishnah, Ketzad, Shnei Zegustros Zu Keneged Zu Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. If you have two balconies over the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, one facing the other, opposite the other, the halacha is, Hamoshet V'Azorik Mezula Zu, if somebody passes or throws something across the street, you have two balconies across the street, one from the other, and somebody throws something from one to the other, the halacha is his potter. Because there was no such carrying in the Mishkan. And there's a machlokes rishonim. What does the Mishnah say? What does the Mishnah mean here by potter? Most of the rishonim of the opinion, as we said a moment ago, that potter here means potter avalosser. It's not awesome with the raisa, but it is awesome with the rabbonim. Those rishonim, however, learned that potter here means potter umutter. But if they were one behind the other, and there's Rosh Hashanah Rabbim between them, Hamoshet Chayiv, if you pass from one Rosh Hashanah Yochid, something, an object, from one of those Rosh Hashanah Yochids to the other Rosh Hashanah Yochid, you potter, Hamoshet Chayiv, if you pass, you Chayiv, Vazorik, if you throw, you potter. Shekas Chayisah avoidus alvim, because this was what the Levim did as they transported the Kroshim in the Mishkan. There were two wagons, each wagon being a Rosh Hashanah Yochid behind each other, and Meshitim HaKroshim Azulazu, and they would pass the Kroshim from one to the other. We know that the Torah tells us that the Mrei Merorim, B'nei Merori, were the individuals who were given the job of carrying the Karashtei of Mishkan, the beams of the Mishkan. They carried those beams on the Agolas. The Agolas were Rishus HaYochid, as we just said. And the way they had four Agolas lined up, one behind each other, two Agolas, one behind each other, then another two Agolas, one behind each other. And the way they used to pass the Krushim is that the people who stood, the Levium, who stood on the Agola closer to the Mishkan would take the Keresh and pass it to the Agola behind it. Not to the Agola across, but the Agola behind. And that's why we understand the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that for passing to behind you, Yechayiv, because that was exactly what happened in the Mishkan. There's a Machlokes Rishonim, how they loaded up the Agolas. Some Rishonim say that first they took the Krushim and loaded up the Agola that was further from the Mishkan, and then loaded up the Agola that was closer to the Mishkan. Others say that that would be a bazillion to not load up the first Agola first, and they had therefore loaded up the first Agola, the one that was closer to the Mishkan, and then they loaded up the Agola that was further from the Mishkan. So they used to pass the Meshitin HaKroshim Zulazu. They used to pass the Kroshim one to the other, even though it was above Sarat Tfachim. It's still there for Yechayev, but they wouldn't, Avalai Zarkim, they wouldn't throw it. They couldn't throw it, Rashi says, and they kived them. They were too heavy to throw. Others say, Rashi earlier in the Masechta said, on Daf Dalaram Beis, they didn't want to ruin them. If you threw them, they would get ruined. The Yerushalmi says that they didn't throw them because it wasn't a covered to throw them. And in fact, I saw that those that want to say when Rashi over here says b'nei kovdom, it's a misprint. It doesn't mean b'nei kovdom because they were too heavy. They were b'nei kvoidon because of the covered that we have to give to the krushim. It's disrespectful to throw them, to throw the krushim. And this is in fact the makar, the source, why you're not allowed to throw anything, any kisvei kodesh. It's a bezayin. So the Meiri asks a question. Why shouldn't we say a concept that we discussed in our previous parak? We learned shnayim shasua, that if two people do a malacha together, the halacha is that you're not chayiv. So why over here isn't this considered Shnayim Shasu? The Levium on one Agola passed it to the Levium on the other Agola, and we learned Shnayim Shasu a potter. So the Meiri answers, and we really learned this concept, that the Ptor of Shnayim Shasu is only when that's not the way it's normally done. But if it's normally done that way, then that doesn't have the halacha of Shnayim Shasua. It's similar, says the Meiri, to the concept that we learned in our previous parak, where we learned Zayin Yochel, Zayin Yochel. If both people who are participating in the malacha, each one of them could not have done it by themselves, then the halacha is that we don't have a ptur of Shnayim Shasua. Another teretz that the Meiri suggests, that it wasn't that the Levium from one Agola passed it to the Levium on the other Agola, but actually the Levium that stood on one Agola deposited the Krushim on the next Agola. If they deposited it on the next Agola, so now it's not a situation of Shnayim Masua. Each Levi carried the Agola completely from one Rishus HaYochid to another Rishus HaYochid through the Rishus HaRabim. Ask the Gemara, Michti. Let's understand something. Zrika toldah d'otzaihi. Throwing something in the way that we just described is a toldah of hotzah. V'otzah gufa hechiksiva. But ask the Gemara, where did the Torah mention that hotzah is a melacha that we're now talking about toldahs of hotzah? So Tosfos asks the obvious question. Where does the Torah say any of the melachos that now the Gemara is asking, where was Hatzah on the Mishkan? So Tosfos answers, as we've discussed from the beginning of the Masechta, Hatzah is a melacha geruah. The reason the Ramban says that Hatzah is considered an inferior melacha, because if somebody were to carry the entire day in his house, he would not have done a melacha deraisa, the heaviest object. But if you carry even a pin from the Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim, it's a melacha Hatzah. So it's a hard melacha to understand. The Ran explains Hatzah is a melacha geruah, because to the person observing me working, he doesn't really understand the difference when I'm standing in the Rishus HaYochid and carrying from the Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim. So therefore, the question is that Hatzah is a melacha geruah, and therefore, even though all other melachas need not have been said explicitly in the Torah, Hatzah, we need to find a makar in the Torah. Am Rabbi Yochanan da makra, the pasuk says, V'yitzav Moshe, V'yaviru ka b'machna. Moshe made an announcement that they should not bring anything from their homes to the Machna Levia, where they were collecting for the Mishkan. Now says the Gemara, Moshe and Hecha have Yasef. Exactly where did Moshe Rabbeinu live? Moshe Rabbeinu lived in the Machna Levia. Or Machna Levia, Rishus HaRabim Hava. And the Machna Levia was the Rishus HaRabim. The Kamalul Yisrael, and Moshe Rabbeinu was telling Kla Yisrael, Leitafiku v'saisu, don't carry anything Rishus HaYochid to Dchu, from your Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim. So, there's a very famous Machloikus Rishonim. What makes a Rishus HaRabim? There are Rishonim that suggest that to be a Rishus HaRabim, you have to have an area where 600,000 people pass every day. Others say it could be a Rishus HaRabim even without those conditions. So the Marsham wants to use our Gemara as a, and there's a famous, from the Taz and the Magen Avraham, it seems that their opinion is that it's only Rishus HaRabim if 600,000 people pass there. And that's why if it doesn't have 600,000 people there, you can make an Erev. Because a place which is a Rishus HaRabim Daraisa is, the halacha is, you can't make an Erev. The Mishkan Es Yaakov questions that Taz and Magen Avraham. The Bi'ur Halacha discusses this very extensively and says, we're dealing with the Issa Daraisa, and how can we ignore the opinions that say that Rishus HaRabim doesn't have to have 600,000 people? So the Marsham has to have 600,000 people. But the Marsham uses our Gemara to bring it, Raya. So Rashi says that here in our Gemara, that the Machna Levia was considered a Rishus HaRabim, because everybody came to Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu was telling them, don't carry from your Rishus HaYochid, where you live, to where I am, which is a Rishus HaRabim. Says the Marsham, if you don't have to have 600,000 people to make it a Rishus HaRabim, why is the area where Klal Yisrael lived not considered a Rishus HaRabim? It must be, because where Moshe Rabbeinu was, the Machna Levia was a Rishus HaRabim. The other areas were not a Rishus HaRabim, where Machna Yisrael, because there they didn't have 600,000 people. Says the Marsham, from here we see that the sheer of a Rishus, there is to be a Rishus HaRabim, you need to have 600,000 people. But ask the Gemara, Memai de Shabbos Koi, how do we know that this announcement was made in Shabbos? Dilam B'chay Koi, maybe it was made during the week. Meshim de Shlim L'Malacha, everything that they needed, or they had enough contributions. K'iksev, as the Pasuk indicates, it says, V'malacha ha'isadayim. Answers the Gemara, Gomer Havara Havara Miyom Kippurim. We learn Gzer Shav from Yom Kippur. Ksiv Hocha, the Pasuk here says, Viru Kol B'machna. The Ksiv Hosom regarding Yom Kippur, Yovel, Yom Kippur, which is the year of Yovel, V'vata Shofet Ruah, Mala Halim B'yoyim Osir, The halacha is talking about Yom Kippur. Afkan b'yom asur, it's talking about Shabbos. So I saw a very big chiddush from the Sefer Afsei Oretz. He asks a question that we began our Masechta with. Why, from all of the malachis, of the 39 malachis, did our Masechta Shabbos choose to begin with the malacha of Eitzah? So one explanation we gave, which we spoke about in today's shir as well, is that Hatzah is a malacha gerua, and therefore, because it's a malacha gerua, that's why it's the malacha that we begin the Masechta with. But here, there's a new pshat, because we're learning Hatzah from Yom Kippur. Now, on Yom Kippur, the chiv of Tosfos Yom Kippurim, the chiv to start acting like Yom Kippur before Yom Kippur, is a chiv d'oraisa. If we're learning Melechus Haitzah, he says, from Yom Kippur, so all other Melechus, there may not necessarily be a chiv d'oraisa for Tosfos Shabbos. But if we're learning Haitzah for Yom Kippur, and if by Yom Kippur the chiv of Tosfos Yom Kippur is a chiv d'oraisa, then the chiv of Tosfos Shabbos regarding the malacha of Eitzah, regarding this of carrying, will be a malacha, will be asma d'oraisa. So it turns out, he says, that the first malacha that you're not allowed to do every Shabbos is Eitzah, because Tosfos Shabbos d'oraisa applies to Eitzah. So therefore, since it's the first malacha that takes effect every Shabbos, it makes sense that that should be the first malacha that the Masechta speaks about, because that's the first malacha that we have to watch out for every Shabbos. So I saw a beautiful vort from the Chassam Sofer. He says that what is this din of malacha ha'isadayim? What's the connection between this and the malachas ha'itzah? So he says that but Moshe Rabbeinu was telling Klal Yisrael that if his entire purpose was to tell them that they don't need to bring more material for the Mishkan, they wouldn't have to do it. He would make the announcement. And the halacha that Shabbos takes supremacy over Binyan HaMishkan, he says we would also know. Why would he know? So he says, because the Torah speaks about Shabbos before it spoke about the Issa Haitzah. What Moshe Rabbeinu was telling them was that you're not allowed to even carry to come to me on Shabbos to learn Torah. And they're not allowed to bring your Sforim to learn Shabbos carrying. Now we would think, since as the Chassam Sofer we know, the Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, there's nothing more important than learning Torah. Maybe as much as there's an Isser Haitzah on Shabbos, it doesn't apply by Talmud Torah. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu had to make an announcement on Shabbos, even though you're coming to learn, you're not allowed to carry. Ask the Gemara, Ashkechan Haitzah. So we have a precedent for the Isser Haitzah, Hachnasa Menolon. And again, using the Svarah that Tosfos taught us. Because Haitzah is a Malacha Gerua, we can't just say that anything that's similar to Haitzah is considered a malacha. Says the Gemara Svarihi. We have a Svarah. Michti. Mershus l'shus. So we know Haitzah means carrying from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim. Hachnasa means carrying from the Rishus HaRabim into Rishus HaYachid. So therefore, says the Gemara, Mali Afuki, Mali Ayuli. It makes no difference if I'm carrying in one direction and the other direction. So as the Rishonim explain, given that the Pasuk, as we just learned, expressly speaks about Haitzah, and there's a Svara to connect Hachnasa to Haitzah, even though it's a Malacha Geruah, it's enough to say that it should be a Tolda of Haitzah. Miu points out the Gemara, Haitzah is the Av, Vachnasa is the Tolda. Ask the Gemara, and this is a question that applies in all situations. Michti, aham chayiv, vaham chayiv. One is chayiv for the same chiyuvim apply if one violates an av malacha or one violates a tolda malacha. My karle high av, my karle tolda. So why is one designated as an av and one designated as a tolda? Answers the Gemara, nafkamina, there is a nafkamina. Because halacha is, the avos shtei avos bahadi adodi, if somebody did two different avos, inami, shtei toldos bahadi adodi, of two or two toldos of different melachas, mechayif tarti. You did this b'shoigig, you mechayif for every one a separate carbon chattis. However, he offered av a tolda today. If somebody violates an av and it's tolda, the halacha is lo mechayiv elo chada. So that's why we need to know what's the av and what's the tolda. There's a very fundamental question. When we say that you're not chayiv on a tolda b'makom av, what does that mean? Doesn't mean that you're not chayiv for that tolda at all. It's as if you didn't do an aveira. Or doesn't mean that the av, whatever kamechatus you're bringing for the av, will cover the tolda as well. What would be the nafkamina? A very important nafkamina explains the Tzoros Chaim. Let's say somebody did the tolda before he did the av. If we say that the carbon for the av covers the tolda, it doesn't make a difference which one was done first. But if we're saying that if you did the av and the tolda, it's as if the tolda is not an aveira. You could only say that if you did the av first. But if you didn't do the av first, then the tolda would certainly be considered an aveira. Rabbi Elazar, but ask the Gemara, according to Rabbi Elazar, the Mechayiv told him makom av, that he holds that you are chayiv for tolda makom av. So what's, again, we go back to our question, what's the difference, what's why one is a tolda and one is an av? Am I karle av, am I karle tolda? Answers the Gemara. Hach the Havah b'Mishkan Karli Av. What happened in the Mishkan is called an Av. The Lo Havah b'Mishkan Chashivi. But what didn't happen in the Mishkan and wasn't Choshev in the Mishkan or wasn't Choshev Lo Karli Av. Inami Hach the Ksivi Kari Av. What's written in the Torah is an Av. For Hach the Lo Ksivi, what's not written in the Torah is Karli Toldo. So the Ramban, in explaining the second teretz, says that that's only regarding the melachos haytzar. For as we've learned so many times in our masechta, the Torah doesn't explicitly say almost all of the melachos. So when the Gemara is distinguishing between something that's written and not written, it's going only to what we're talking about in our Gemara. What? When is something considered an av? What something considered a tolda regarding the melachos haytzar? There's a machloikis. What is the proper girsa in the first teretz? Some say that for order for it to be called an av, you have to have two conditions. One, that it had to be in the Mishkan, and also it had to be choshev in the Mishkan. The other Gersa says it doesn't depend if it was choshev or not choshev. It has to be, if it was in the Mishkan, it's an av. If it wasn't in the Mishkan, it wasn't an av. So according to that Gersa, asked the Ramban, there should be many more than just 39 malachas, because it's not just, there were many more malachas that were done in the Mishkan. So, in fact, the Ramban says that it could be Rabbi Elazar doesn't agree with the number 39. That's one pshat that I saw. Another pshat that I saw is that when we learned on Daf Ayin Gimel the different malachas, so there were many malachas that really are very similar to each other. So there, the halacha will be that Rabbi Elazar will hold that we're not going to count some of those malachas as separate malachas. Since they're all very similar, he's going to count them all as one malacha. Ask the Gemara. V'hadatnan, ha azarik abba amas b'kaisel, if somebody throws dalar amas to a wall that's in the Rishus Rabin, and anything that will stick to that wall will be considered like it landed in Rishus Rabim. Hazoruk Arba Amos Bekoisel. If somebody threw Arba Amos on the wall, Lamala Masara Tfachim, if it's above 10 Tfachim, Kazoruk Ba'avir. For as we said in our introductory remarks to this parak, Rishus Rabim doesn't go higher than 10 Tfachim. Lamata Masara Tfachim, but if it landed within 10 Tfachim of the ground, Kazoruk Ba'aretz, it's as if you threw something from the Rishus Yochid to the Rishus Rabim, the Zorik Baritz Arba Amis, and you throw something, Dalar Amis, in the Rishus Rabim, you're going to be Chayif. Ask the Gemara, Zorak Arba Amis, b'shus rabim non dechayif. And from where we know that if you throw something arba amos in the shus rabim mechayif, omer. And again, we go back to what we've quoted from the Rishonim so many times, because when we speak about the melacha of haitzah, we can't just use svara. We can't just use logic. It has to be something that we have a source for in the Torah. Answers the Gemara. Amr Baishia, Shekhan Arge Yurias, Zorka Machtem Zelazer. The people who wove the curtains would throw their needles to each other. Ask the Gemara, Argin, people who wove those curtains, Machtan Lamalhu, why would they need needles? Says the Gemara, El Shekhan Teufri Yurias. The people who sewed the curtains, Zorka Machtem Zelazer, would throw their needles to each other. They were sitting in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim where they were doing the Malacha, and they were throwing it from one to the other. So you see that throwing something down on Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is chayiv. Ask the Gemara, however, Duma Gabe Hadadi have a Yasvi. Maybe they were sitting next to each other. There wasn't a distance of Dalar Amos between each other. Says the Gemara, they couldn't have been sitting so close to each other. Mata Hadadi Bemachtan, they would poke each other with the needles if they were sitting so close to each other. Says the Gemara, they weren't necessarily sitting next to each other. However, Dilma betoich arba amis aviyasvi. They sat within four amis. You could still sit within four amis and not be that close that you should poke each other. Answers the Gemara, a different teretz. El Amar of Chizda, shekein orge yirios zork and buchy b'yiria. The people who wove, who did the weaving, would throw their keli for Dalat Fochim. When they had the string on it, the thread on it, they threw it that way. Ask the Gemara, that's not called Zoyrik, because Aloy Oigda Biyadoi, you're still attached to your hand. Answers the Gemara, B'nichscha Besraisa. The last time they threw it completely out of their hand. Ask the Gemara, V'mamakim P'torka Zilna. The area between where this machine was and where the curtain was a mokum p'tor. We're speaking about throwing in a shus rabim. We're not speaking about throwing in a mokum p'tor. Says the Gemara, El Shken Argi Riyah Zorkin Burchi L'Shaleim. If somebody would come to borrow this keli from them, they would throw it to them four amos away. Ask the Gemara, V'dilma Gabbai Hadadi Aviyasri. Maybe they sat next to each other. As if I wanted to borrow from my colleague, he didn't have to throw it for Dal Ramis. Furthermore, says the Gemara, they couldn't be sitting so close. Mate Adadi Bechefes, they would poke each other. Says the Gemara, and now the Gemara introduces a whole new concept, which, as the Rishonim say, could have been used previously as well. But Dilma, Shalchufi have a Mishalchi. Maybe they sat in a staggered fashion. And since they sat in a staggered fashion, they weren't going to poke each other because they're not sitting right next to each other. The Su, and furthermore, says the Gemara, what are you concerned that they're going to lend the keli one to the other and throw it? Mishili mehadadi, did they throw it one to the other? But Tanya Luda, the pasuk says regarding the construction of the Mishkan, ish mimalachtu Hashem oisim, mimalachtu oisim. Everybody had their own equipment. Vein oisim mimalachs chaveri. You didn't need to use somebody else's tools. So this entire circumstance of lending and throwing and borrowing never happened. The Su, says the Gemara, this was regarding throwing. If we know that the Isser is Mavir Abba Amis B'Shus Rabbi Nolan D'Chayif, how do we know that you're not allowed to walk with something, Dalar Amis, on B'Shus Rabbim? Says the Gemara, El Kol Abba Amis B'Shus Rabbim, the halacha of carrying Dalar Amis B'Shus Rabbim, Gemara Gemirloi, is a halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. There's an interesting question in the Achroinim. When we say that carrying in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai, what does the Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai teach us? Does the Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai teach us that carrying is a tolda of Aitzah, Mavid Al Amis is a tolda, or the Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai introduces an entire new concept? It introduces that there's a new Isser. It's not one of the others. There's a new Isser of carrying Dalar Amos B'Shus Rabbim. So the Shalas Achuvas, Yehuda Yale, Ayre Chaim, Simen Pei Zayin, says an incredible vort. He says that even though he asks a question, he says, we know that if Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos, we don't blow shofar. Why? You may come to carry the shofar of Dalai Lama's Precious Rabbim. Sukkos falls on Shabbos. We don't take the Dalai Lama, mean him. He says, especially according to what we learned earlier in our shir, there are hardly any real Rishus Rabbims. Because if we follow the opinion of the Marsham, which he based on our shir today, that to be considered Rishus Rabbim has to be an area with 600,000 people to traverse, there are barely any areas like that in the entire world. So he asks, how can we take such important mitzvahs, shofar, dalaminim, and nullify them because Shem Yavaren and Dalarams Rishus Rabbim, when there are any, or there are hardly any Rishus Rabbims? So he says that even, he says a very bechidish, even if you'll say that to be considered Rishus Rabbim for the Isser of Oitzah, of carrying from Rishus Yochat to Rishus Rabbim, it's only Rishus Rabbim when there's 600,000 people. For the Isser of Mavir, which is a new din, like we just said, it's a din of Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai that you're not allowed to carry Dalarams Rishus Rabbim. For that, he says, you don't have to have 600,000 people. So that's a very common Aveira. And now we could understand the Gzeres Chazal. Fascinating Yehuda Yala. He differentiates between the Dalar Amis, the Halacha of Eitzah, from Rishus Yochat to Rishus Rabbim, versus the Halacha of Mavid Dalar Amis Rishus Rabbim. He says that's not the same type of Rishus Rabbim. What is the basis, says the Baal Hamor, for the Isser of carrying Dalar Amis Rishus Rabbim? So the Baal Hamor says that every person, his personal space is Dalar Amis. So therefore, says the Baal Hamor, we understand the Isser of Mavid Dalar Amis. When you're carrying something outside of your Dalar Amis, so you're carrying it outside of your own personal space, your own Dalar Amis, to outside that area, and that's why it's like carrying from Rishus Yochat to Rishus Rabbim. The Torah speaks about the Mekoshish. The Mekoshish was the first person who was Mechal Shabbos on Shabbos. And the question was, what was the Aveira? What was the Chil Shabbos that the Mekoshish did? Amr Yehuda Mishmul, Mekoshish, Mava Abba Amos Peshus Rabbim Hava. The Aveira of the Mekoshish was that he carried Dalar Amos Peshus Rabbim. Memesnisa Tana, in the Braisa we learned Toilish Hava. He was somebody that detached wood that was growing. Rav Achav Yaakov Amr Ma'amah Haver. He was gathering wood on Shabbos. So now, I saw the Michis Chinuch asks a question that Ma'amr, there are Rishonim that hold you only Chayiv Ma'amr B'Mokim Gedulon, where what you where you're collecting grows. The Midbar was a place where nothing grew. So the question is, how could you be Chayiv for Ma'amr if nothing grows there? So he quotes the Tosfos Masechta Chulin that Pei Ches Amar Aleph, that Pei Ches Amar Beis, that says that while Klal Yisrael were in the Midbar, things grew in the Midbar. And that and the Orach Chaim HaKadosh uses this to explain the Pasuk of the Mekoshish. He says, the Pasuk, when it speaks about the Mekoshish, says, Vayihu b'nei Yisrael b'midbar, v'yimtzu ish Mekoshish. So the question is, why does the Pasuk have to give us this introduction, v'yihu b'nei Yisrael b'midbar? Because, says the Orach Chaim, normally you would not be chayiv for ma'amr in the, you would normally not be mechayiv for ma'amr in the midbar, because it's not a place where it grows. But when Yisrael were in the midbar, things were growing in the midbar. And since things were growing in the midbar, the halacha is that it's considered the malacha of ma'amr. Ask the Gemara, l'mayin nafkamina. Why do we need to know, asked the Gemara, what was the malacha that the Mekoshish violated? Answers the Gemara, l'cha the Rav, for what Rav taught us. Damar Rav, Metzosi Megillah Star in Beir Abchiyah. I found a Megillah. We know that in the time of Chazal, until Rebbe came and wrote the Mishnayos, Torah Shabbat Peh was written, was learnt by Peh, orally. However, if they sometimes when they heard a chiddush would commit it to writing, and those megillas, those pieces of paper, were called megillas torim. So the rishonim ask that until Rebbe came along and taught us eis lasis l'Hashem efer teresecha, and he allowed for the writing of the Torah Shabbat, you weren't allowed to write it. So how could they write this? So some explain that the iser of learning Torah Shabbat Peh in writing is only for the purpose of teaching. But if you're writing it only to as a reminder, that isn't a violation. Another pshat that I saw that the Shas HaTshuvas Aryeh de Be'eloi quotes from the Chayz of Melublin, that what the Gemara means when it says Megillah Starim, it means it was written in an unclear fashion. When is there an Isser to commit Torah Shabbat Peh to writing? The Isser of committing Torah Shabbat Peh to writing only applies when you write it in a clear fashion. But if it's written Starim in an unclear fashion, that isn't considered a violation. So in this Megillah Starim, it said, Isi ben Yehuda Omer, Ovis Melach Sabayim Chas Achas, there are 39 melachos v'ein chayiv ala achas, and you only chayiv one. Ask the Gemara, achas v'sulah, you only chayiv one karb mechatas for all 39 melachos. For tonight, we learned the Mishnah, that the Mishnah said, avam melachos, avas melachos, abayim chas achas, that there are 39 melachos, v'avinim ba, and we asked, minyan olam ali, why did the Mishnah have to tell us the number 39? V'am Rabbi Yochanan taught us the reason was, shem kum, asum kum ba'alam echad, if you violated all 39 melachos on Shabbos, chayiv akal achas v'achas. Says, so what are you telling me? Asked the Gemara, that you chayv ela achas, that you only chayv one karb mechatas. Says the Gemara, ain't a chayv ela achas mehem. One of the melachas, there is no chiv skila for. The question is, which one? So by knowing which was the melacha that the Mekoshish did, and we know that the Mekoshish ended up getting skila, we'll know that that isn't the melacha for which there is no skila. Review the pshitalei, the mavachayv, that for carrying dalams b'shus rabim yichayiv skila. Masnisa, according to the Bryce, it's poshut that for toilet shechayiv, and Ravach ba Yaakov holds the ma'amr chayiv. There's a machloikus masava hob miyislo misapka or masava holam misapka. Each one of these tanoim say that for these specific malachas that are mentioned that they hold the mekoshish did, there is no question there's a chayiv skila. There's a machloikus rishonim, what does this mean? Does it mean that the chiyuv skila doesn't exist for one of the malachas, but karas and chatas do? Or does it mean that not skila, not karas, not chatas apply for one of the malachas?